This is the time in our service for the Bolognese fire dance. Is that right? We've all been waiting for it. Unfortunately, we're not allowed flames in this building, so everything I prepared cannot be displayed today. I'm really sorry about that. But I have something far greater for you this morning, and it is the word of the Lord. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Before we read together, let's say together a prayer as we hear the word, and the words are behind me on the screen. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. John 12, 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be back among you. I was here a couple summers ago, I think. So some people are even nodding. They remember that. I'm so honored. Incredible. And when I was here, you just got green-lighted for the building project. So I sort of feel like I've been part of the journey. This is very exciting that in June. So at some point, you know, I hope I don't blow it to then you invite me back to preach there. So really. And Helen, that was very generous and very gracious of you. So thank you so much for that very personal welcome. And I received that and I'm thankful for that. Joel, I'm disappointed. It was simple instructions and... it wasn't a hard ask, right? all right, okay. God, thank you. If you be lifted up, you'll draw people. May we lift you up. And we know that we're lifting up the way that the cross lifted you up. We're pointing to the remedy for what ails us. All these things that we can't sort out, we can't fix, we can't make better. If I be lifted up, you said. You string me up, you nail me up, and things get healed. So counterintuitive. God, may you be lifted up before our eyes. May we see you, the divine answer for all that confuses us, all that torments us, all that keeps us down, all that binds us. And may we indeed look upon you and receive all that we need for this day and for all our days. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, a little thought experiment. That group of people or that person you least expect will come to church. Could be a collective, just a group of people in general, or it could be quite personal, that your brother-in-law, somebody you work with, your neighbor. You just can't imagine them ever walking through the doors. You got them? They're right outside the door. And they have this request. We would see Jesus. That's how this story starts. Now, these Greeks are coming up to the festival, so they're God-fearers. They've committed in some way to a religious position. They're not these wild-living heathens or whatnot, but they've already made a commitment to what they believe and how they worship and how they will practice that. But they're knocking on the door, and they have this core request, sir, we would see Jesus. We need an audience. It's hard little piece to translate. The version that Joel read said, we would like to see Jesus. Some put, please, could we see Jesus? But the actual Greek is, we would see Jesus. And what the translations are struggling with is this, is the tone in which they're asking. It sounds, if you just look at the grammar, that it's a demand. Show us Jesus right now. But it's not quite the tone. And the tone is more like, could we see Jesus? It's a plea. It's desperation. It's actually Zechariah 8 being lived out. Remember Zechariah 8? No, you don't. Verse 23. Just, if somebody was just reading that this morning, that would be awesome. But Zechariah 8, verse 23, in those days when the Lord shows up, 10 men from every tribe and tongue and nation will grab hold of the hem of the robe of one Jew and say, can we go with you? We hear God shows up with you. God's with you. It's this, it's a fulfillment of that. People from the nations, the pagans, the Gentiles, banging on the door and saying, whatever we found over here doesn't seem quite to fulfill us, could you please show us Jesus? Why? Why are you so curious about Jesus? Well, if you back up in this text, just a few verses, Joel read from John 12, beginning in verse 20. But if you back up a few verses into verses 17 and 18, we read this. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. You see, what's happened is a huge buzz in town, because it was just in the chapter before, well, I mean, you know, the day before, whatever, you don't know what I mean, where Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, arise, and Martha's like, don't do this, he stinks, and she's freaking out, and he's like, just roll that stone away, and out Lazarus comes, and there is a huge buzz. Now, there's also the religious leaders at the time are sharpening their swords or knives. The plot thickens. They feel that they can't let resurrection power loose on the streets, so they need to kill, they think, both Jesus and Lazarus. But the great buzz in the crowd, the great buzz on the street, is somebody who can raise people from the dead is in that house, in that church. Let us in. We need in. We got to see this guy. It's not just curiosity. It's personal. All the heartbreak that they've encountered, all the loss that they've endured or maybe are facing. The sick wife, the suffering child, the mother that's fallen ill. Oh God, we didn't find that in this other religion. We didn't find this in this other way of living. can we get in and see Jesus? It's desperate. It's grabbing the hold of the hem of robe of one Jew and saying, we got to get in there and see him. It's not a bad picture for a church, eh? Jesus so on the loose, the resurrection power, this new life power, such a rumor pulsing out from among our faith communities that the people in the street, that they're ready to just sort of say, I'm ready to walk from that thing I embraced, whatever that thing might be, that made them the least likely person in your head to walk in through the doors. I'm ready to bang the door down just to get, if he's in there, if he's loose, if that kind of power that, God, guys, let me in. My marriage is just in shambles. It is just fallen. It is dead, and it needs a resurrection. My hope, I pinned it on this political thing, this financial thing, and it is shattered. I need resurrection power. Let me in. And so they come to Jesus. It's kind of a little bit of a Keystone Cop thing, really. You know, they find Philip, and they ask him, and Philip goes off, and he finds Andrew, and they go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, there's some pagans here, and they want to see you. And Jesus goes, wow! That's awesome. Like, this is such a fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied, that the nations will come through. This is so cool. Didn't I tell you? No, he didn't say that. He goes weird. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then this passage is verse that wasn't in the reading today, but it's verse 36, right at the end. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. So we got the Isaiahic prophecies being fulfilled. We got Zechariah 8 being lived out in the streets. Great people grabbing hold, and Jesus has prophesied and promises that these things will be fulfilled, that the very Gentiles, the light unto the nations has come. And it's being fulfilled in their midst. And instead of saying, whoopee kaye, he goes into this, now the hour has come, and I must do it. And then he walks away. He goes and hides himself. What? I mean, just imagine that Pastor Stewart had been doing some really cool things in town. You know, just some resurrection power loose here. And the rumor was getting out. And then this morning, some of the people that you pictured that would be least likely to come to church have heard the rumor. It's been blasted out. And somebody shows up at church and says, where's Merle? Merle, just somebody grabs you. Merle came in. So they grabbed you and said, sir, we would see Pastor Stewart. And Pastor Stewart goes to Beth and says, Beth, somebody's looking for Pastor Stewart. She says, someone, let's get Joel. So they go to Joel, they're looking for Pastor Stewart. And these guys go, bump, and they find Pastor Stewart in the back room. And they say, Pastor Stewart, there's these Hell's Angels out there that want to talk to you. And he goes, the hour has come. I mean, I go, it's just weird. And then he goes and leaves and hides himself. How do we make sense of this? Partly the lectionary readings help. We're just one of them. But let me very, very quickly sum up. We read from Psalm 51. All of the lectionary readings this morning kind of have this grand theme working through them, and this is a grand theme. The God of the universe is going to get personal with you, And he's going to change you from the inside out. So Jeremiah 31, it used to be a bunch of laws we had to observe, but he's going to put the law in your heart and give you a new heart. Inner transformation by the God of the universe. Messing with his personality. Psalm 51, which was read. God, I have so messed up. My life is such a train wreck. I don't know what to do. I can't, but you can. You can do all, you can restore inmost things. You can give me joy back. You can put together the broken things. It's just inward restoration from a holy God doing that which we can't do. Same with the Jeremiah text. Psalm 119 is in the lectionary readings, and it's a portion that says, how do I keep from sinning? And it's not the usual thing. Try harder. That's usually what we say. And what Psalm 119, this Old Testament text, says, get the word just alive in you, like soaked into you, so that this thing becomes like food, delight. You get that word in your heart like that, and you have built an amazing immunity system to sin. And then Hebrews 5, which is this great high priest text of Jesus in the line of Melchizedek. And the promise of that is that this obedient one, Jesus the Son, who has submitted to the Father, who is actually, that has an amazing phrase, he's learned obedience through what he suffered. Wow. But the promise of Hebrews 5 is the one who has been made perfect, that's Jesus, can get you totally saved. I mean, not just a little bit saved, which is sometimes how it feels, doesn't it? Okay, you're totally saved. I sometimes feel certainly. But the promise is he's going to totally, there's not going to be a thing unfinished when he brings you into heaven. It's inner and total and complete inside-out transformation. So the weird thing is, those are all the lectionary readings, and I went over them and over them, and I tried to sort of distill that core. And then I come to John 12, and I go, huh? Like, okay, well, say again, this weird thing, we would see Jesus, well, you know, hours come, seeds falling. I would say the heart of this statement of Jesus is the word in less. You want all this? You want this inner transformation? You want this inside-out change? You want it? The new heart and the law written on the heart and this word soaking through you that you actually live in obedience and this total salvation. You want this. Jesus says there's an unless clause, unless I die and get lifted up. Can't happen. This can't be done on your own. There's no way you can engineer this. There's no way you can work righteous your way into this. There's no way just trying harder is going to somehow bring that inner transformation. Try it. Go ahead. We're all waiting. You've tried it, right? Has anybody not tried that way of inner transformation? Jesus is saying, unless I die. Unless the seed falls, this seed goes all the way down and dies, there can't be the change hundredfold, thousandfold, all through the creation. But if I be lifted up, watch. And all that promise of the transformation of a life from the inside out starts to get loosed into the world. Now, here's the curious part about that. Well, there's a few curious parts. How does Jesus picture that inner transformation worked into the outside, the inside out? So what does it look like fundamentally? What is the sort of finished product when he gets hold of you and he gives you the new heart and he writes his law on it? That Jeremiah 31 says that we don't have to actually, when we get that new heart and that new law, we don't have to say, how do you know God? Because there's just this inward knowing. The finished work, Jesus is saying in the John 12 text, when he's gotten hold of you and the life that he has lived is now replicated in you, The finished work is you look more like a servant. Listen to verse 26 again. He's doing the speech about the Greeks who want to see him, and he's talking about the wheat having to fall, the kernel of wheat, and dying and producing many. You can't love your life. And then verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Serve, serve, serve. One verse, three times. Here's the interesting thing. These Greeks are pounding on the door, and they're saying, we would see Jesus. We want to see resurrection power. We're curious, but we're also desperate. There's a part of my own life that I need some of that loose in. And so they're banging on the door, asking Merle, who asked Bess, who asked Joel, and they're saying, I just need more of this. And I don't know what their picture of resurrection power is, but it probably looks like Lazarus down the road, that he was dead, now he's living. But Jesus seems to be saying this, I tell you what you should actually be looking for if you're looking for me. You should be looking for the one who serves. And then what Jesus does in the next chapter, which I'm sure you'll get to in your lectionary readings, John 13, is after the meal is served and all of the disciples are sitting around, Jesus takes off his outer jacket and he kneels down and he starts to wash people's feet. And he says to his disciples, you will be blessed if you do this. And then in John 14, he says, and when the Holy Spirit comes into you, this power of inner transformation, you will do the same things I have done, even greater things than these. You'll even wash more feet than I did, because there'll be 100 of you, 1,000 of you, having experienced the inner transformation that I bring. And you no longer have to prove things. You no longer have to get your way. The Holy Spirit, the inner transformation, new heart, new law, releases you to be in very nature a servant. Turns out that servant theme has been running all the way through the Gospels, and especially the Gospel of John. Just let me give you a few examples. Remember in John 2, favorite Nazarene text, Jesus changes water into wine? No, I'm sorry, this is a joke. It's really bad. Can't believe I said that. But John 2, and remember that he gathers the servants around and he fills up the ceremonial water pots with water, has them fill it with water, and then take the water to people, and they try it, and they go, oh, this is awesome wine. And there's this, it says that there's a little verse in chapter 2 of John. It says, nobody at the banquet knew what was going on, but the servants knew. Servants knew. The servants are involved in the transforming work of Jesus. I could cite other ones, but the John 13, which I've already cited, that Jesus models for them what true messiahship looks like. It says he wants to show his disciples the full extent of his love, and that's when he plays the ultimate servant, the lowest slave in the house, and washes their feet. I think even at the end of the gospel, John 21, where Thomas basically says, we would see Jesus, or I would see Jesus. Remember the testimony of the other disciples saying, he's alive, and like, I need to see him with my own eyes. And what does he ask for? I want to touch his wounds. I want to see him lifted up. I want to see the servant heart of Jesus Christ for me. He died from, I mean, it's weird, right? Like, if you're asking for proof of resurrection, would you ask to put your fingers in the wounds? I think he gets it. And so when Jesus in John 15 says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, I think he's not saying you've graduated from servanthood to friendship, but you've finally understood that my friends are servants. We would see Jesus, this awesome moment when the nations are coming. They're coming into the northwest of Calgary. They're just moving in. The nations are here. The nations are curious. The nations are wondering, is that church down the road that will then soon be down the other road? Is that church, is the resurrection of power of Jesus loose in it? Should we show up there and just ask, can you show us Jesus? And they don't even know quite what they're looking for. They're probably looking for some spectacle. And the real good news, Jesus says, you know, I'm going away. I'm going to leave. I'm going to hide. And anyhow, if it was just all dependent on me, I can only be one place at a time. So today it's the Skyview Nazarene, but next week it's going to have to be that Alliance Church. And I'm sorry, you joined forces. And actually, I go to Baptist Church. Tell those other people, you know, whatever. And there's a sense where if it's just me, I can't be showing up all the time. But if I die and I do the inner work, unless I die and do that deep, deep thing in you and release you from all your need to perform and your need to impress, your need to have your way, I release more of me into you and you can be foot washers. Servants, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, then I can have you all through my churches. And when they come banging on the door saying we would see Jesus, well, you know how to serve, don't you? It's quite that simple. Let me pray. God, thank you that this heart cry, I pray for more of it. I pray for more of it all through our communities, Father, that the things that people have given their hearts to, attached their affections to, occupied their time with, trying to find their joy in. Father, I pray there'd be a fresh move of God in our city where people all through the neighborhoods, all the nations that are present here, would not just get curious, they'd get desperate for some experience of the resurrection power of Jesus. And this church, I pray this church would be alive. The rumor would be all over. If you get into there, you'll meet Jesus. But I pray, Father, that even though sometimes people don't even know what they're asking, that we would understand what you would have us do to be a demonstration that where you are, your servant is also, and where your servant is, there you are also. And I pray, Father, that you would just, we would open ourselves wider to that deep, deep transformation. That we can't make happen, but you do. And we would really step into these roles of profound servanthood, washing feet, feeding hungry, loving the unlovable. And indeed, when people come looking for Jesus, they would find just one of us or a bunch of us, ordinary servants of Jesus. And they would get a glimpse of the resurrection on the loose. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.